Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to DAVE, the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grieving process. Join Dave and his guests now as they share practice tips and tools that you can start using immediately to help get you through this day. Now, here's your caregiver host, Dave Nassani.
From Los Angeles and New York City and Manhattan, a big L.A. and Big Apple welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, at CaregiverDave.com, along with my lovely co-host Adrian Gruberg at TheCaregiverSpace.org. And we're coming to you live and on demand 24/7 on 16 global and audio video platforms. You know what they are: iTunes, YouTube, Spreaker, SoundCloud, Vimeo, Stitcher, Blog Talk Radio, Mixcloud, Listen Notes, Blueberry, Player FM, Podcast.com, VIP Internet Radio, Facebook Live, HealthyLife.net. One day I'm going to do that without flubbing. And also at CaregiverDave.com, proud to be voted number 2 best podcast out of the top six caregiver podcasts by Caregiver.com. You'd think I have marbles in my mouth. I don't know. We have an exciting interview planned for you today, don't we, Adrian? Adrian? Can you hear me, Adrian? I can't hear you.
Can you hear me?
Now I can hear you.
Okay.
Don't we, Adrian?
Yes, we do.
And the reason why we have an exciting interview is because it's just her and I. I'm still getting over being back from Hawaii and writing my book, and I'm usually really good. I can book guests 2 months, 3 months sometimes in advance. I've got to sit down and actually do that, because every week I think I've got a whole week to book a guest, and then the next thing I know, it's Sunday, and oh my gosh, you know, it's like studying for your mid-finals in school all over again. That dream where you are either going to school in your underwear, or you realize that you got the biggest test and you didn't study for it, you can't find your books, you can't find the school. I still have nightmares about not being able to find my classroom in college at USC.
Wow.
I remember I used to, I got married when I was in my fourth year of college. And so it was interesting. I would park my car, and I would take the dog with me, and I had my bike. I threw it in the trunk and put the dog in the basket, and the dog went.
I was going to say, you sounded like you put the dog in the trunk. Yeah. I'm glad you clarified that.
But those were happy days. My gosh, they seemed just like yesterday.
Where I know.
Where has the time gone, where I was this struggling student, married a woman 10 years older than me with a 5 and a 12-year-old, 10-year-old, and working at my father's gas station part-time, just trying to make ends meet, trying to get good grades, trying to do everything. And now look at me. I'm 65 years old, on Medicare, 3 kids, married twice, 7 grandchildren. The oldest is 30. My oldest kid
is... married? you married in college in your senior year?
Yes. We met when I was 20, and then a year and 3 months later, she was 30. A year
you like older women.
Apparently.
Apparently.
Apparently. I've gone out with teeny boppers, and I was seeing almost a teeny bopper when I was meeting her, but I started to do the comparison thing. I said, oh, my gosh, you know, Charlene would never do that. Oh, my gosh, Charlene can cook. This girl can't even cook. And Charlene this and Charlene that. And, I mean, yeah. there was no contest. And apparently she
That's
knew
what
exactly
like.
What she was doing, because nobody can compete with this woman. She's Martha Stewart and Wonder Woman. And it took me a few months. I was dating both girls, like, at the same time, because I was still in one relationship. And you recall the story. I wasn't really ever dating her. I just needed bodies for the sailboat, and and she had other plans. She invited me out to dinner, after I invited her to come on the boat. I guess she thought she was on a date, but she wasn't. But then it turned out to be a date because I showed up for dinner and, like, blew my socks off with an 8-course meal and Nat King Cole and candles flickering. I didn't even look at her as a romantic prospect because she was older. She was 30. We didn't even trust people 30 when you were, you know, back in the 70s when you were 20. But all of a sudden, I took another look at her, and I saw her in a totally different light. And I said, I could do this. So I had to find a reason to stop dating the other girl, and she made it really easy. It was just, you know, it was like an American Idol competition. It's like, you know, the one who sings off key and the one who just blows it away, like Pavarotti. Pavarotti. What's his name?
Pavarotti.
I said it right. Wow, look at that. Pavarotti. Okay. Well, how did we get onto that? What are we going to talk about today?
I don't know. I was thinking. I was thinking about caregiver activism. How do we get caregivers to get their voices heard, to let the world know what our problems are, and we need help, and nobody asks.
And by the way, thanks to our last week's guest, the Senator Susie Chun Oakland, got it?
Yeah.
Of Hawaii.
Where they do give some help.
Yeah, amazing guest. She's a very knowledgeable person, spent her whole life just being a public servant and a servant to caregivers. And she taught us a thing or two about, you know, what is possible in government and in private industry, et cetera. So, yeah, I like a special thanks to Susie for coming on the show, and we will have her back again. But, yeah, let's what you said.
I mean, I just want some feedback from you. What do you think? How do you think we can get caregivers who are very private, isolated? They're not out there because they're taking care of somebody, and they're usually confined, you know, relatively. How do you get them to get their voices heard? I mean, I know that, you know, they'll come on the site and they'll voice their problems, but that's just to us. No one else is hearing that. And I think we've got to figure out a way that we get those voices heard.
Well, part of me, the pessimist in me, says that, my gosh, if Adrian and Dave haven't figured out how to do that yet, I don't think there's a way. But there must be a way.
There must be a way.
Because I've already come to the conclusion that I can't help a third of you people out there who are caregivers.
No way.
A third, and that's a lot. If you got 65.7 million, and there's really more than that. But let's round it up to 80, 85 million. It's probably more than that. It's probably 100 million.
Probably 100 million.
So if it was 100 million.
But there are so many people who don't identify as caregivers.
So if we're talking about 100 million, then 33, is that right? A third? Yeah, 33 million. No.
It's still a lot of people.
Yeah, it's still a lot of people. 33 million. How many people live in New York City?
I don't know. You want
me
to look
it up? Is it 2 million? 2 or 3 million?
There are over 8 million people.
Okay, let's say there's 10 million in New York City, in that little tiny island.
At least.
And I'm not even talking about the five boroughs. I'm just talking about Manhattan, right?
Yeah.
So there would be like 3 1/3 Manhattans we're talking about. Total population, man, women, children, dogs, you name it. And that's a lot of people. And, you know, we talk about terrorists. Well, There aren't that many terrorists. Well, how many terrorists does it take to cause havoc? Just one, you know?
Right.
And how many people's lives that a terrorist or that an illegal alien killed? Oh, well, you know, only 15,000 people died. Well, you know what? If you're the family of one of those 15,000 people, it's a big deal. And if you're a caregiver, we're talking about someone who died, burned out, went into the hospital, never came out, and so on. So it's worth not giving up.
There really are so many different levels, because I remember when Steve had a motorcycle accident and tore his heel off, I mean, for about 8 months, maybe even a year, that was my life. It was very
temporary
intense
caregiving, ones, right?
But it was temporary. And people who break their legs, you know, they have a caregiving situation. People who get as something as simple as the flu, you know.
Right.
But when that goes on and on and on.
I mean, you just made me think of something. My wife, Charlene, is a caregiver, because every time I cut off my finger, I need stitches on my head, every time I have a bicycle accident, I break my ankle, every time, I was in this automobile accident and an airbag broke my wrist in two places, they needed a skin graft, she was taking care of me.
That's right.
I forget
That's right.
about that. And I'm not easy to take care of, you know. I'm not the ideal patient, because I want to keep moving and I don't want to follow directions. Apparently, I've been getting in trouble with people because they said, "Didn't you read the directions?" And
never read directions.
Apparently, I didn't. I'm sorry. Let me read them again. Oh, yeah, it does say that.
Have you ever put together a piece of IKEA furniture?
Yes, and I never
Have
read
you
the directions.
Not
because,
read the directions?
No, because it's a challenge, and it's like
it's a challenge that can go wrong.
And
very
I always
fast.
Put it together wrong, and I always have to take it apart because I didn't put this one first.
Yeah.
And then I always have parts left over at the end. I love that because I look at it and I say,
"What did I miss?"
It looks strong enough. I don't think we need these parts. But I'm 65.
Well, I mean, if you and I, as you put it, if you and I haven't figured it out yet, let's put our brains together and come up with some ideas.
Okay, we can brainstorm.
I mean, we've got a new presidential thing going on from now until next year.
Yeah, unfortunately.
And last time, you did not hear the word caregiver. You heard medical, insurance, you heard all that, universal care, but you did not hear the word caregiver out of one candidate's mouth.
How are you and I going to appear on the White House, in the White House, in Congress, appearing before a subcommittee? I mean, how do you get invited to something like that?
That's a good question.
You
got
to know somebody? You know all the people, right? You know a lot of famous people.
I don't know politicians, but Jerry Nadler was my congressman for a while, and he's got some power now. I suppose if I start to make some noise and get some attention.
Just say you vote for somebody. That'll get you attention.
it's not something that can be ignored very much longer, and not just because of the aging population. There are more and more birth defects. There are more and more kids that have problems because of the environment and the water.
Veterans. Every veteran coming back has got something wrong with them. It's all
every vet
PSDI, post-traumatic
PTSD.
Thank you.
I mean, and there are separate communities. You know, you've got elder care, but you've also got elder care where they're just, you know, it's not Alzheimer's and dementia. It's just people who are frail and need help. They can't do it alone anymore. So it's like you don't have to be sick to need care.
Yes, I guess we have to. Oh, by the way, I, you know, Francis and Susie, between the two of them, they both know Lisa Gibbons, who's a big caregiver person. So they're going to see if they can get her.
But commercial.
Pardon?
She's a commercial person.
What does that mean?
Well,
yeah, she's a star. She's a celebrity. But that's the first step, I think, of getting awareness. You know,
I've been looking.
She's
for
appeared.
A celebrity
I bet she's appeared
time.
Before Congress or, you know, whatever.
I doubt it.
Really?
I don't think anyone's appeared before Congress on caregiving.
How about dementia? They have. They've been studies on dementia. We should do research.
There
on
are
that.
Yes, there's money. God knows there's enough money in the Alzheimer's Association has a lot of money. But
well, I hope they're
got
spending
so
it
many
wisely.
Conditions.
I keep seeing things. This could be the end of dementia. This new drug, blah blah blah.
Well, yeah.
We keep hearing that. I mean, I don't know if it's true, or if it's coming, or if we're close, or you know.
Well, it's getting more and more attention because the baby boomers, us.
Are we baby
we're
boomers?
We're gonna need help soon.
Some sooner than later. What percentage do you think dementia is of total caregiving? Is it like 10%, 20%, 25%?
I would say about 20. I mean, but you're talking about dementia or dementia and Alzheimer's.
Dementia and Alzheimer's, because it's kind of all the same to me, is the symptoms are kind of the same, aren't they?
No.
Similar?
Because... in an Alzheimer's patient, there's not as much paranoia and acting out, violence, and I mean, dementia can be really, really bad stuff. Alzheimer's
dementia
is
a form of Alzheimer's, or do I have it backwards?
No, they're both separate.
Yeah, but
people
one's a subcategory. One is a subcategory of another, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it dementia?
There's
many kinds of dementia, and Alzheimer's is one of them, right? Is that how it works?
I don't know. I really do need somebody
I think
like
so.
Lisa
I've heard that said. There are many kinds of dementia. I've never heard it said there are many kinds of Alzheimer's, but there are many kinds of dementias.
Yeah.
Alzheimer's is just one of many. And they're
I
all
mean,
different.
Steve had dementia for 3 weeks before he died.
Mm.
So.
Well, luckily it was only for 3 weeks.
Yeah, definitely.
And then
the doctor in his case felt it was because he went into a fantasy world because he couldn't deal with what was happening.
Mm. And a lot of elders who start drinking heavily, that sends them into a alcoholic state of dementia.
It exacerbates it terribly.
Yeah, I know people especially who are going through that, and they won't stop drinking.
I mean, maybe we could put together a panel of people.
Ooh, that would be good. I like panels.
An Alzheimer's expert, a dementia expert.
On the radio show here?
No, not just on the right. I'm talking about for Congress.
Yeah.
You know, if we really got a bunch of experts to appear and talk about the caregiving crisis.
So we have to find someone who already has the channels of communication open with Congress or Washington. So do you know anyone like that? No matter
the
what
only,
it is?
You know, the I'll tell you... somebody like Meghan McCain on The View, who does know everybody and has been there, because she did help care for her father a great deal.
Yeah, that's true. Personally, she did that personally, or she hired people.
She did. I'm sure he had a lot of caregivers, but she was always there for him.
Sure. What daughter wouldn't want to be there for her father during those times?
Yeah. Well, and she absolutely adored him. So, yeah. I mean, maybe Meghan McCain is a good place to try and start. I'll hang out at The View for a while and see, because I know Joy Behar took care of her mother.
They're in New York, aren't they? The View?
Yeah.
What do you mean, hang out? What does that mean?
Well,
at The View? You mean, can you be part of the studio audience? Is that what you mean?
No.
Hang out at the front door?
find my friend who's a producer on The View and have him make the introductions and see if
that would be awesome.
They're interested.
That would be awesome.
Because you've got Joy took care of her mother. Whoopi's taking care of a lot of people.
Oh, my gosh.
And Megan's taking care of her father.
And, you know, I met the producers of The View last year at the mm-hmm. National Publicity Summit when I was in New York. And they just kind of all looked at me like deer in the headlights, like, well, you're not a star. We have stars on our show. But they
should have people who deal with real daily problems, or at least talk about it when they have.
Well, I'm going to be there again.
Hot topics.
I'm going to be there again, and
will I be able to?
I'm a producer this time, so I'm on the other end of the microphone, and I'm only there for one day out of 2 days. And so just hope and pray that I can at least speak with the producers, and I'll tell them about what we spoke about.
Can I come with you?
Yes. Yes.
So I can. Now, how much does it cost? I'm not spending $8,000 to get it in.
No. I'll see if I can bring a guest. I don't know. I might be able to. I'll
you need somebody else to help man the booth.
To help man the booth. Yes, that's true. That's true. During the break, I'll come up with their names. There's two of them, two producers.
Well, I mean, it's something to think about. I wouldn't give their names out over the air, but
yeah, just privately.
I think it's a good place to start. I just want. One of my goals is, I mean,
before we die,
So I have, you know, part of the caregiver space is faces of care,
mm-hmm.
which I believe that there's only one degree of separation between anyone and a caregiver. I don't believe that I could go up to someone in the park and say, do you know anyone who's caring for somebody else? And they'd say no.
Oh, no. Everybody knows a caregiver.
I have to say yes.
Everybody knows a caregiver.
And I want stories. I want people to be heard and tell what their lives are like and how difficult it actually is.
Yeah.
Hearing it from the horse's mouth is very different. And
someone is saying hello to us. Mary Prinzing. I hope I'm saying that right. It's hello, Dave and Adrian. Linda Coleman here. They are. What does that mean? Linda Coleman.
I don't know.
Oh, maybe she's telling someone about us, and she's saying, here they are. Call in. You got the phone number. You can talk to
them. Yeah, from which site? Ha-ha!
From which site?
Yeah.
It doesn't tell me which site.
No,
because they're shared.
They're shared. Yeah.
We share things here. doesn't matter who but it's probably yours because you have a much bigger audience than I do.
Well, but do you need to have a commercial?
Yes, let's take a break. Let's take a commercial break and we will be right back. And don't, I tell you, don't go away.
One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships, is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships. Available everywhere.
And we're back with Adrian Gruberg of the Caregiver Space and me, Caregiver Dave, caregiverdave.com. And so we're talking about getting the word out to politicians, to Congress, to Washington.
Yeah.
To state legislatures. I mean, it's got to start in the state. Doesn't necessarily
have to start.
I just
want us to be heard. Because it's not, if you think about it, we're an enormous voting bloc.
We are. Oh, wow. We certainly are.
We're adults.
Only mostly. Less than 100 million people vote in this country, right? A third. No, 25% of the population. And I think there's 200. Is there 250 or 350? 350 million. So, I mean, we would, if every caregiver would vote a certain way, it wouldn't even come close. We would be like a landslide. But we can't even get caregivers to take care of themselves. How are we going to get them to vote?
We should have power.
We should have power.
I mean, we really, that's my point.
And I'm sure every group is saying that, you know. They're saying, we are, you know, big in numbers. We should have power. Well, everybody should have power if everybody would just vote. But, you know, I look at the average person. I look at my own kids. The last thing on their mind is voting or what's going on. I know it's not good.
You have to motivate the kids to vote.
I do motivate them. There are other things I'm trying to motivate them to do, too, like choose the right husband, raise your children a certain way. Yeah, that'll work. It's just these are strange times we're living in. You're almost so fortunate not to have children, Adrian, because they just break you. Not my children, of course, but they break your hearts because
of course they do.
Because you, you know, we were from a different generation, so we would do things differently, and they're not. They're not listening to us. They're listening to Facebook. They're listening to, you know, the movies. They're listening to the media. That's who's raising them after they leave the house and what have you. It is so sad.
But I mean, I'm on the subway
a few
times a week.
Dogs are great.
Dogs. I'm on the subway a few times a week. No one does anything anymore except read or listen to music, read them from their cell phone, or listen to music on their cell phone. Everyone is looking at a cell phone or playing games on their cell phone.
Yeah, and the music they listen to, I wouldn't even call music, but, you know.
But it's really sort of depressing. There are so few people that are actually reading books or newspapers. You used to have a problem with people learning how to fold the New York Times, which is a big paper, right? We got lessons in school on how to fold the New York Times
so that
you can read it on the train.
Did they teach you how to balance your checkbook, by the way?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
See, we didn't do that. I'm just a few years younger than you.
Well, but you're in California, and I'm in New York, and curriculums are different everywhere.
That is true.
Mm-hmm.
So, but I think we should also try to, because maybe you and I don't know the right people, but you never know who does. Like, we met Susie, and she knows some people. And
we
now we're going to meet Francis,
we have
and
to
she
start
knows some
asking.
People. Yeah. And it's like, this person knows that person. And as you think back on some of the great events of your life, I know I can, I say, you know, if I never met person A, they never would introduce me to person B, and I never would have ran into person C, and that's
sure.
who introduced me to this person who I have this amazing opportunity as a result. And that's why I always tell, even if you're an introvert, pretend you're an extrovert. Just be out there. Hi, I'm Dave. What's your name? Because you never know who you're going to meet, who could change your life. And maybe you could change their life.
Well, I did that with my husband. I did. He was on TV doing a show. He was on TV doing a show. It was called The Groob Tube. He did it every week for 35 years.
The Groob Tube?
Until 3 weeks before he died. And he took phone calls from
was it just a local
anybody
show?
That was listening. It was a cable show.
Wow. It was just a talk show, huh?
Yeah.
All up and vent.
And it was just him and a telephone and the audience. And
wow.
One night he had a crawl going across the screen. Steve is available.
What, Diva?
Steve is available. And I had been recently divorced. And he said, call after the show. And I did. And that was it.
And the rest, as they say, is history.
The rest, 32 years of history, yep.
Well, there are a lot of caregiver groups. I'm amazed. They just keep growing daily. I remember searching just under the word caregiver under Facebook groups, and it just kept going and going and going. And, you know, sometimes when you're looking at lists like that in Facebook, it's like, okay, is there an end to this list? Because I only have so much time. A lot of times I will go to the end of a list and work my way up. That way at least I know, you know, if it's within the realm of possibility that we can do this. But I've never made it to the end of a list.
Maybe there's a way of consolidating all of – I mean, they can still be all these separate groups,
sure.
But consolidating an effort.
Yeah, for political power at least. I mean, for other reasons as well. But my gosh, if we can just connect, isn't that what Facebook did? If we can just connect the too many to count Facebook groups out there. And so we've got to come up with something that we tell them, hey, if caregivers would vote as a block, then we can literally change caregiving, change the world, make caregivers
change the world.
Yeah. And so what thing could we ask from them that they would be stupid to turn down? That it would be so simple. Yeah, I could do that. What would that be?
Well, let's think about it.
Yes, and if anyone's
worth
listening,
talking about.
Any caregivers out there have any ideas, please call. You got the number right there. Please.
You'll get our email addresses at the end of the show, and
they
can let us know their thoughts. Gary Barg.
Yes.
Probably
we've had him on the show.
Has contacts.
He's a great guy too.
But he probably has more contacts because he's got some celebrities that he's had on the magazine. I think including Lisa.
Yeah.
So,
and I know you were sick when we had Peter Rosenberger. He was on again, and he was just on the Mike Huckabee show. And getting a lot of publicity there. He was on the 700 Club, and he's been on the Today Show. He's located in Nashville there, and they're just so well connected with people. And
just remember that not all caregivers are conservative.
Oh, I know that. I'm reminded of that every week. I just happened to mention the show he was on because it's a famous show.
But
I'm sure he probably can get on The View because his wife is really the gem. I mean, she's the amazing one. Peter's wife.
Peter.
Gracie Rosenberger. Because, my gosh, he married her after her accident. And he kind of had a clue what it was going to be, that he was going to be a caregiver. You know, sure. We all say, well, I didn't sign up for it. Well, he signed up for this.
He signed up for it.
Of course, he didn't realize the extent, but she's a gorgeous woman. And anytime you say, well, gee, that's so unusual that you would marry someone who would need care. He says, well, have you seen her? You know, she's like a babe. And she is. And even her younger pictures, she was like even more of a babe. She's still a babe. Mm-hmm. But to have, he says, like 89 surgeries and counting, and she needs like surgeries or medical procedures, and she needs about as many more that haven't been done yet. And she lives with pain constantly, and she lost both of her legs. She lost a leg each time she had a child. So she has two prosthetic legs, and I know what that's like because Charlene's brother has two prosthetic legs.
Wow.
And he was telling me, you know, I was complaining about... complaining about this cramp I've been getting in my ankle that's the one that broke. And says, that's nothing. I get cramps in my ankle all the time, and I don't even have an ankle.
He's got phantom limbs.
And that must be so crazy, because at least if you have a cramp in your ankle, you can rub it out or whatever, but you go down there to look at your ankle, and oh, gosh.
Yeah.
There are so many things. You know, I used to think having a stroke was the worst thing that can happen to a person because your language was taken away from you. You know, that's what separates us from the animals. Then my mother had dementia, my mother-in-law, and I said, no, it's got to be dementia, because to not know what you want to say, at least Charlene can kind of gesture it and pantomime it, charades, Pictionary, but to not know... even to not know who you're talking to and memories that have just fallen in some black hole, surely that has to be the worst thing. But then, you know, I'm thinking about the physical pain aspect of it and the limbs, the phantom limbs that hurt and you can't do anything about. I don't know. I'm just thankful that...
you're in one piece?
I'm thankful for a lot of things.
Yeah.
The guy who had no feet... he was thankful, or the guy who had no shoes was thankful that he wasn't the guy who had no feet, and he was thankful that he wasn't the guy who had no legs,
right?
And so on and so on and so on. You know, you can always find someone who has it worse off than you. And I know it doesn't sound like very comforting. Well, just think of what could have happened, you know, but it's so true. Whenever I'm tempted to complain about something, I just have to... realize perspective, and the final perspective is, hey, we are Americans. Even the poorest of the poor, of the homeless people living under the freeway underpasses, they are rich by the world's standards. Somehow they're getting food to eat, even if they have to dig for it in the trash can. At least there's food in the trash can for them to eat. Now, you know, I'm being a little
compared
ridiculous.
Compared to other places in the world.
But in Calcutta, India... there's no food in the trash can.
How about Venezuela right now?
Yeah, yeah.
Venezuela so many people, right now is really...
I don't want to get political, but so many people are just socialists now. And well, how did it work in Venezuela? How did it work in Cuba? How did it work in the Soviet Union? I mean, and nobody has taught...
people were online forever.
...our children about government and social studies... and what socialism is and what it isn't and what capitalism. I mean, this is a capitalistic society. China is doing so great because they gave up the socialistic model and now they have the capitalistic model. Yes, they're still communist.
But
their economy is booming.
They
have embraced communism. And America, which has made the world what it is today and the technology, et cetera, yes, it's not perfect, and there's a lot of bad things that go with capitalism. But my gosh, the rest of the world are embracing capitalism, and we're trying to get rid of it. We want to get rid of cows and cars.
You're getting political. That's a green thing.
Yes, I'm getting political.
That's, you know what? That's a whole other thing.
In the olden days, remember on TV, in the olden days, whenever someone gave a political opinion, he says, and now we're going to have the equal time amendment. So
they still do.
I never hear it. You know,
yeah.
CNN, here I go again. CNN just gives, you know, one side, And I never hear the opposite side.
Oh no, I'm not talking about the news channels. News channels are different. But like on The View,
I think everyone should have equal time.
On The View, what they do is there are disclaimers and they have to be read. And if somebody, you know, goes on a rant, then there is somebody who reads something from the other side.
And then the lost art of debate, you know, Berkeley used to be the bastion of debate and free speech, and now it's totally opposite. If somebody comes on the campus that they disagree with, the majority of people, students, then they don't let them talk. They throw things at them, and they riot, and they throw things at windows, and they burn cars. I just don't get it, Adrian. We're not living. Mm-hmm. We're not in Kansas anymore.
No, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Yeah, enough of the politics.
Not.
Enough of the politics.
Now, it's not just a matter of politics, because it affects all of us in a lot of different ways.
It affects football fans.
Oh, excuse me.
It does. I mean, you would think that the football field would be a safe place.
Would be sacred.
You would think the Academy Awards, a night when you're honoring your favorite actors or actresses, the people that you paid money to go see the movies.
A primarily Democratic group.
Oops.
So
yeah,
you wouldn't want them getting
Democrats used to keep their opinions to themselves. We never knew if Dan Rather was a Republican or a Democrat because he never let us know.
No, that's not the Academy Awards. Marlon Brando let us know. Jane Fonda let us know. They would get up there.
Jane.
They had people up there making speeches for them sometimes.
But they were rare, weren't they? They were just the brave,
yeah, but
rare
there were
ones.
There were,
you could count them on one hand.
Yeah, but you had somebody like Spike Lee this year who got up there and voiced his opinion. You know, basically he just said, we've got an election coming in 2020 and we've got to make our voices heard. It's not divisive. It just
shouldn't be.
It shouldn't. Well, but yeah, you need to vote to get your voice heard, or you have no right to complain about the outcome.
Let's talk about it more.
Let's talk about something. Is it time for another commercial?
It is time for another commercial. I'm going to
what do you know?
Put you in charge of telling us when it's time for another commercial.
I'm looking at the clock.
Good. Are we 40 minutes in?
Pretty much.
Roughly? Okay. Well, we'll be right back, so please don't go away.
Dave Nassani, the caregiver's caregiver, has just released his sixth book entitled It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. It was specifically written for caregivers who know they should be putting their needs first, but just don't know how. Dave is the sole caregiver to his wife, Charlene, since 1996. He knows firsthand what caregivers are going through, because he is one. And he now speaks all across the country, offering caregivers his incredible caregiver support package. Even the airlines tell us that in the event of an emergency, to put your oxygen mask on first, before you help your child with their mask. They know that those who don't heed their advice often black out, thus becoming unable to help either themselves or their child. And caregivers are exactly the same way. It's My Life Too. Reclaim your caregiver sanity by learning when to say yes and when to say no. We'll help caregivers who are neglecting their sleep, diet, and social life, and learn to put their needs first. Pick up your copy today, or buy one for your special caregiver. On sale everywhere, and at caregiverscaregiver.com.
And we're back with me, caregiverdave.com. And Adrian Gruberg of thecaregiverspace.org. And while we were on our break, Adrian, I just happened, just for the heck of it, Googled things that we can do to make our voice heard in Congress. And an interesting article came up. Members of Congress on their caregiving challenges. And so it goes on. Michelle Lujan Grisham is a lawyer and congresswoman who co-founded and co-chairs the Bipartisan Assisting Caregivers Today, ACT, caucus. I didn't even know there was an Assisted Caregiving Today caucus. But even she finds it difficult to navigate caregiving for her mother. Well, there's a shocker. And she's quoting here, I have to be on it every single minute of every single day, and I need help. The Democrat from New Mexico said Tuesday at a briefing on Capitol Hill. Why were we there? The briefing featuring congressional stories of family caregiving. I didn't get the memo.
I didn't either.
Was sponsored by the Gerontological Society of America.
See, that's the problem. It's not only a gerontological problem.
I know. I spoke at the Gerontological Society. I don't know if it's of America. It was the one in Hawaii. And the John A. Hart Ford Foundation in partnership with AARP, the Alzheimer's Association.
Another
and
elder care.
The National Alliance for Caregiving. Its goal... So these guys were involved in organizing this. Its goal was to, quote unquote, raise awareness of the need for action to support and assist family caregivers, unquote, and call attention to the recommendations of the Families Caring for an Aging America report. And they give a link here, so we should read it and see what it says. November is National Family Caregivers Month. Yes, we know that. A little downtime for family caregivers. Grisham's mother has physical limitations and increasingly cognitive impairment. Although she lives 5 days a week in an assisted living facility and has paid caregivers at home, the two other days for when Lillian is not with her, the congresswoman said she still must follow up on everything. Was her mother's linen changed? When was it supposed to be? Is it time to make an appointment with the dermatologist who treated her skin cancer? Did she take her medications as prescribed? And that's so true, because we can't trust everybody to do what they're supposed to do. It's really hard, and I'm a lawyer, and I've been doing leadership jobs most of my career, she said. In part because of her experience as a caregiver for her mother, Grisham in late July introduced the National Care Corps Act of 2017. The National Care Corps, which she likened to the Peace Corps, would operate with the Federal Administration for Community Living at the Department of Health and Human Services. Corps volunteers, typically young adults interested in caregiving, would receive health insurance and other benefits as well as money to pay education costs or loans. They would be placed in communities to provide care to help older people and adults with disabilities to remain independent. For now, caregivers give out before the people that they care for do. It's like I always say, they die before their loved ones do, or they get sicker. She said, adding only half in jest, that if her mother lived with her full time, she'd probably need a 6-month vacation. Yeah, think? Mm-hmm. Currently, 49 million Americans provide. See, this number is way too low. I don't know where they
way get too low.
$520 billion with a B worth of care every year
That's
to older
right.
Americans and adults with disabilities, according to background information for the National Care Corps legislation. The bad news is that in 30 years, I've seen very little movement in what we ought to be doing,
That's
except
right.
a heightened awareness about how critical it is, caregiving that is, he said. No further action has been taken on the National Care Corps Act of 2017. Since it was introduced in Congress in July. Well, there's a shocker, right?
Yep.
One caregiver, four caregiving journeys. Four caregiving journeys. Like she says, Jackie Rosen, a Democrat congresswoman from Nevada, felt challenged by the role of caregiver, even though she was probably better equipped than many. Rosen, who's married to a physician, quit her job as a computer programmer to care for both her parents and her in-laws. They all got old and ill at the same time, Rosen
yep.
said at the Capitol Hill briefing. Four people, four journeys, and one me. On top of that, Rosen's daughter was a teenager at the time. Her father-in-law had a pension, so he and his wife could afford to move into an assisted living facility. But Rosen's father, who had been a salesman, had no pension, couldn't afford such a move. In honor of the memory of her parents and in-laws, Rosen is among the bipartisan co-sponsors, including Grisham, of the Credit for Caring Act of 2017, which was introduced in May. No further action has been taken on it to date. There's another shocker.
It's not.
The bill would create a federal non-refundable tax credit of up to $3,000 for family caregivers who work and spend their own money to help care for their parents, spouses, children with disabilities, and other loved ones. See, there has to be news in the news that gets people riled up so that the Congress
exactly
can get their attention, because they're always sticking their finger in their mouth and holding the to see which way the wind is blowing.
Absolutely.
Chris Smith, a Republican. I'm sorry for reading all this, but it's so interesting.
No, but it's perfect.
Chris Smith, a Republican congressman from New Jersey, there's your Republican, told of how his mother lived with his family for nearly a year in the mid-1990s. And this topic can unite Democrats and Republicans in a bipartisan.
Oh no, it's definitely not. It's definitely across the aisle. Yeah.
But yeah, because caregiving happens to everybody. Doesn't matter who you are, how much money you make, what color your skin
religion,
is,
your religion, your color, your income, and anything.
So he told how his mother lived with his family for nearly a year in the mid 90s after she was diagnosed with brain cancer and early Alzheimer's disease. Quote, "My wife, Mary, the primary caregiver, was a saint," unquote. Smith said at the briefing, the couple put a baby monitor in his mother's bedroom so they could keep tabs on her overnight in their bedroom. They closely monitored her medication and reassured her, saying, "Mom, you are not a burden. We love you, and there is no other place on earth we would want you to be than here with us." Smith's mother's brain cancer progressed more rapidly than her Alzheimer's, and she eventually had to move into a hospice care where Smith and the rest of the family made sure she was never alone.
Mm-hmm.
And the need for emotional support, Jan, I can't pronounce that name, a Democrat congressman from Illinois, cared for her father who lived with her for the last 7 years of his life. Jack Kowalski, sounds Polish. "It was a great blessing to have done that," she said at the briefing, noting that she couldn't have handled all the responsibility without the support. You know, there was a briefing, people spoke, people were heard.
And then it was ignored.
It was recorded, and then it was filed, and it was
taped.
That's
it.
And that is so common, not only with caregiving, but with many, many topics, because it's not on their hot item agenda.
Mm-hmm.
To recognize she was fortunate to have that support. I mean, it just goes on. We've heard these stories.
Well, they're not eager to solve a problem that's saving them at least $450 billion a year.
Yeah. I mean, hello.
Yeah.
And they're quibbling over $5 billion for a border wall, which, you know, 7 years ago they said they all wanted. So the reporter, by the way, is Rita Rubin, former USA Today medical writer who now writes about health and science for publications, and we should contact her, including Next Avenue, US News, WebMD, and NBCNews.com.
Mm-hmm.
And her Twitter is at Rita Rubin, R-U-B-I-N. So that's a good place to start. She wrote this article. Next Avenue editors also recommend services to help employees manage patients' caregiving. Stories help caregiving pros know the person within, caring for your aging parent during a slow decline, and so on.
See, that's, of course,
research.
I'm always coming from the place where it's not all about elder care. It's not all about Alzheimer's. It's not all about dementia.
Yeah.
That it's
about the people who, if they weren't there, those other people would even be worse than they would have been.
Well, let's say a child is born with a birth defect, and that birth defect is something that is going to impair his entire life, and he's never going to be on his own or her own. And the parents watch their child grow up knowing that they're going to outlive their child. And no one talks about that either.
Yeah.
Or all of us, like me, in the middle, who were caring for cancer patients or diabetes patients, or, you know, and anybody who's got any heart patients. I mean, there are people that are in every walk of life that, if you're not in elder care, Alzheimer's or dementia, you don't get mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
You really don't.
That's right.
So that's my soapbox.
So what is our takeaway? What is our call to action that we're going
to
do?
Our call to action is, let's get in touch with some of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And let's have anyone who listens to this send us an email and let us know that they listen to this.
Yeah.
And we can get in touch with them and keep them up to date on what's happening. And they can get back to us with some of their ideas if they have any.
Yeah. They can subscribe to this show on YouTube as well.
Sure.
Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver. Just
yep.
Go to YouTube, pull that up, subscribe.
And they can call in.
Yeah, and they can call in.
And they can call
we're
in.
We're here every week, every Tuesday.
Opinions.
Most of the time we're here every Tuesday unless something comes up. I'll be traveling next Tuesday. I'll be in Atlanta, Georgia, speaking at Mercedes-Benz. I'm not sure where I will be at 1. Well, that's East Coast time. I don't know where I'll be at 4 p.m., but we may have to just postpone it later on in the night
from
the hotel room.
You'll let me know.
Let you know. So I don't know where the time has gone, because time flies when you're having fun. And it's.
We had a topic.
Let me just say publicly, because I've said this privately many times, that I appreciate Adrienne Gruberg so much. She is amazing. She is delightful. She is so fun to have on the show. She has a tremendous sense of humor and a wonderful and warm smile, and as warm a heart as her smile.
That's true.
And this show would just
like
kind of be
so.
Boring without her. You know, she's the Kathy Lee Gifford of the.
That means that you're what's his face?
What's his face?
he's the big wheel.
I was going to say Ryan, but no, we're talking about...
Ryan Seacrest.
Yeah, Ryan Seacrest, but the older guy, the first one.
Regis.
So, because he was with Kathy Lee. So you're the Kathy Lee to my Regis, you know, whatever.
Wait a minute. I got pictures of me and Regis.
She actually knew Regis Philbin, folks. That makes
I knew Regis until, and I'm going to say this on the air, and I don't care who hears it.
Yes, she's told me this before, so
get
ready.
I was a friend of Regis's until Steve passed away, and mm-hmm. I called to tell him that Steve passed away, and I never heard back from him.
You hear that, Regis?
And
not too late for you to fix that.
Unforgivable.
Oh, wait a minute. I guess it is too late. It's unforgivable. You'd have to come on your hands and knees begging Adrienne for forgiveness, and maybe she might forgive you, and maybe not. But
no, if Steve was the one that was angry,
Steve would turn over in his grave if he knew what you did to Adrienne Regis.
Maybe.
Is that slapping him enough?
Yeah.
He's still alive, right?
Next week.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Next week, Steve will be gone 8 years.
Wow.
And it just seems like yesterday. It's unbelievable. Unbelievable to me. But I've got this now to, it's a worthy cause, and let's make a difference.
Yeah,
I think we are.
Anyway, thanks for coming on the show every single week, except when you are in migraine hell.
You're welcome.
And
I'm trying my new migraine medication. I'm going to pick up my Aimovig and hope that it does the trick.
And thank you for allowing us to also air the show on in addition to all of our 16 global platforms on your
on the
platform, on the caregiver space. And your caregiver elder group and your caregiver whatever other
community
group it's
and yes. and spousal and yeah.
Until next time, we will see you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to the Caregivers Caregiver Radio Program with Dave Nassani.